Welcome back. This is Manuel Criollo, and you're listening to Voices from the Front Lines on KPFK 90.7 FM in Los Angeles and 98.7 FM in Santa Barbara. And on the phone, we have Bill Fletcher, president of the Trans-Africa Forum and, you know, important leader in the black community and labor movement in the past. Bill, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me on, man.
Definitely. Well, Bill, let's... We just had Beverly Wright, and we were attempting to have Malcolm from Community Labor United, and they talked a lot about the actual on-the-ground, you know, things that are happening in New Orleans. One of the things that I wanted to have you on for the phone today was to talk a little bit about this gathering that's going to be occurring later this week at the Congressional Black Caucus, or I guess it's their annual gathering that they have, and I'm assuming that in most people's minds is going to be the topic of Louisiana and the Gulf Coast states. Do you know what are the sort of main lines that are going to be expressed at this gathering? We're sending two representatives out there, and we wanted to get a better understanding from your part on what's going to be taking place.
Well, I mean, we have to keep in mind this is, as you said, an annual gathering. There's going to be a lot of workshops. This is sponsored by the Congressional Black Caucus Foundation. It's not entirely clear to me what will be coming out of this. Now, there was a meeting last week at Howard University that was sponsored by the NAACP, and they brought together segments of the national black leadership to discuss Katrina. And I think that this was an important step, but I think that at the same time it was not nearly as broad as it needed to be. And this is one of my larger concerns, that there's both broadening within Black America, the organizations and groups that are represented, but there's also this question of broadening outside of Black America, a national momentum around Katrina. I mean, we need a Katrina movement, and we need one desperately that is looking at what Bush and his allies are attempting to do in turning the Gulf Coast into a theme park, and what the implications are. And that means that people in Southern California and people in South Carolina need to all be concerned about this. So I'm hoping that the Congressional Black Caucus Foundation has the kind of workshops and discussions that encourage the building of such a movement.
Well, you know, for our dilemma, Bill, hi, this is Eric Mann, our dilemma is sort of in search of the movement, right?
Mm-hmm.
We're sending Damon Azadli and Barbara Holland, and we're sort of aware that a sort of a staged workshop that's already been planned for a year. We're just hoping that we can go up to members of the Congressional Black Caucus who are speaking and try to say what's happening. For instance, Reverend Jackson has made some fairly good statements, very disappointing, by the way, of singling out illegal immigrants in one of his op-eds. Very disappointing. On the other hand, he's made some very good statements. He seems to be going after Clinton for the first time and trying to break the back of Clinton's self-imposed theory that he was the first black president. So by simply asking, could a black person be on the aid team with Bush and Clinton, was a way of challenging Clinton's right to speak for the community. He also pointed out that Clinton, as well as Bush, has been in on a gravy train in terms of sending his friends in to get federal contracts. But there's not, you know, obviously Reverend Jackson is somewhat of a freelance person and not been known for years for his, quote, organizational capability. There's groups down the Community Labor United down in Baton Rouge and New Orleans that are heroically trying to bring a coalition together. In terms of D.C., because I know you've been trying, that's one of your strengths, is the bridge builder goal, are there groups in D.C. trying to get together to do this? And if I can add one more question, there seems to be some growing critique of the United for Peace and Justice in the way that the critical movement to get out of Iraq is being too facilely turned into getting out of Iraq equals helping Katrina?
Well, beginning with the latter part, I think that that's a completely unfair criticism. I think that what has been demanded at this point in view of this crisis is to talk publicly about the priorities that this country has advanced and what it means when $1 billion a week goes into an illegal war and occupation compared to what's happening in the Gulf Coast and in New Orleans and what's not happening and the kind of planning that should have taken place. So I think that that's really, it's a very unfair criticism, and I think that at a moment when there's an attempt to have a major demonstration in Washington and call attention to the continued criminality of the war, there really isn't, it's not accurate, it's not appropriate. But I'd say in terms of the first part of what you're raising, what I see is that there are a lot of individuals and groups that are trying to figure out how best to respond. One of the big problems and questions is how far out to jump on this issue in the absence of an organized voice and movement in the Gulf Coast. And this has become sort of like a chicken and egg situation, because on the one hand, it's absolutely the right thing to want people that are directly affected to be taking the lead. On the other hand, the enemy is moving a blitzkrieg on the Gulf Coast. So they're not sitting back waiting. That they, meaning the right, is not sitting back. It's not waiting. They are moving not only contracts, but in some ways, more importantly, Eric, they're moving an ideological framework for people to rethink the Gulf Coast. And in the absence of a critique coming out of the left, we're ultimately going to lose. I mean, it's not clear what will happen in terms of the people there. You know, some will probably be allowed back in order to serve as waiters and hotel personnel. But in terms of people living in particularly New Orleans, it is far from a settled question that that's going to happen. So the meeting that took place last week that I was referring to, I think was both important, but it was not enough. I mean, for example, one of the discussions that apparently was raised there was about black business getting a piece of the action in terms of the reconstruction of the Gulf Coast. Well, you know, I'm there as much as the next person to make sure that, you know, the contracts are bidded fairly and all that. But frankly, that's not the issue of the day. The issue of the day is what's happening to the evacuees, making sure that the evacuees have a voice in the current conditions, but also that they have a voice on the reconstruction of their communities. And that's where I think those of us outside of the Gulf Coast have to speak up. And frankly, man, I think that there will ultimately need to be some sort of national organization or network or movement that really keeps this Katrina issue, environmental justice, everything, keeps it alive.
Well, Bill, on that, I just want to say that I've been working on an article for about 2 weeks that's almost ready. It's called A Letter to the Movement. And as I'm writing, you know, of course, I'm going through every single internal contradiction within myself, like, who am I to write this? And in this case, I'm white and Jewish, and why should I be even making suggestions on what the movement should do? And then I talk to people in New Orleans who say, I think it's a real good thing if you write it. You know, we're glad you write it. And then I got your op-ed piece on, you know, Katrina as the Titanic. And then I got Saladin Muhammad's view of Katrina, the 9/11 for the black nation. And obviously not just to protect my own self, but I think certainly we want to create a culture where people should be free to write. In other words, at a time when Bush, and as you say, where the blitzkrieg is happening, not concerned with any of our articles, let alone movements, to encourage the expansion of political debate about where this is going. And I think we'll be at least fortunate to say that the attitude of the people in the Gulf has been pretty good about that.
Yes.
Which they've been saying, I welcome, look, whatever you do, write it. whatever you do, send us stuff. I mean, the worst we won't is won't agree with it. But I think you as a writer and those of us, that's one thing we can do.
Mm-hmm.
And I want you to, you know, and then secondly, I think you're absolutely right. We're having trying to have a big event in L.A. on the 29th of September to try to build that, you know, L.A. support for the movement in the Gulf.
Mm-hmm.
But I think you're right that the dilemma you said is, what do we do if the blitzkrieg is already moving, the ideological framework is already moving, the groups in the Gulf Coast are barely pulling themselves together physically because the hurricane has created such devastation. The dilemma for us is, how does that dialectic evolve? Where is going to be the potential for that national movement?
Well, you know, one of the things I would say is to really double underline what you're saying about writing. I'm not one that ever believes that only whales can critique Moby Dick. So I think it's really important that there's a broad spectrum of folks that are out there offering insights. There's a lot of good stuff that's been written that helps people think through what the implications of this this whole situation, and it's not simply a natural disaster. So I am glad you're writing something, and obviously I'm looking forward to it. The thing that we have to keep in mind is that there are things right now. For example, my position is that the union movement, both sides of the split, are, while they're doing relief work and while that's important, need to shift gears. That is that organizers need to be deployed in the Gulf Coast, in the regions where there are the evacuees, outside of the Gulf Coast as well, to organize, help the evacuees, the survivors, whatever people want to call them, get organized and develop a voice. We need a voice in Houston, Texas, of evacuees. We desperately need that. We need the voice of the evacuees heard over the media, not simply as the victims of this terrible natural as well as economic catastrophe, but articulating what they believe needs to be done. In the absence of that, what will happen is they will remain the victims of the storm, and other people are going to walk in, and they're going to provide themselves as spokespersons. So I think that organizations that have staff that can be deployed, that would be a very constructive step. I think in addition to that, organizations, progressive and left organizations, both within the African American movement as well as outside, need to be looking at how do we build the Katrina movement. I mean, there's this whole set of this whole Latino question in the Katrina aftermath that is, for all intents and purposes, being ignored. I mean, people are simply not talking about it. I mean, it's absolutely amazing that you have this entire situation. You have the situation of poor whites that are in that area that is not being discussed. So I think that it's that we have to reframe this as a Katrina movement, a black-led movement, a movement that really needs to start advancing a different vision for the Gulf Coast. And we need to demolish the neoliberal approach on this. This is going to be a catastrophe on top of the catastrophe if what we do is allow Bush and company to rebuild the Gulf Coast as a theme park, yacht club, you know, and otherwise vacation resort.
Well, Bill, should I go? I mean, obviously, you know, I think in my wild thinking, you know, some of those things, I'll change the quote from me to you in the in the article. One of the things I think is really important is, and I just want to clarify something on the war. I don't usually use devil's advocate as a tactic. Before I came in, someone asked me to ask the question about United Food for Peace and Justice for you to address that. Obviously, the war in Iraq is not a diversion, you know, as I say in the article. SNCC's very, very quickest thing was, hell no, we won't go to Vietnam.
Right.
That it's not even the diversion of the money, but the human rights abuses. Beverly Wright said that if an election was held today in New Orleans,
mm-hmm.
there'd be a white mayor and a white city council because of the of who's there now physically and who's dispersed.
Right.
Your point about people going all over the country is a really good one. We're proposing, obviously, in L.A., trying to get groups to locate, because there are people in L.A. from Louisiana, as you pointed out, organizing in Houston. And again, to reinforce your point, whether it's AFL-CIO, whether it's the Change to Win Coalition, whether it's TransAfrica, I think groups are calling for organizers to go down to the Gulf Coast. I would argue that I think we totally would agree on this, that the, you know, you talk about a million demands. The central demand must be to rebuild New Orleans with 484,000 people of them, 70% of whom are black.
That's right.
Because if it's reconstructed physically, there's a base to fight the corporate takeover.
That's right.
Even if they don't organize politically, there's the potential to organize politically. But if they're permanently dispersed, all the demands in the world without a black social base can't win.
I think you're absolutely on the money. I guess what I would add to that, and by the way, I didn't think that you took that position.
Okay,
in
good.
Terms of the award, so don't. but I think in addition to what you're raising, this whole right to return to the Gulf Coast, to people's homes, needs to be coupled with some other things. For example, there needs to be something like the 1930s Works Progress Administration, where people are put to work. That is, people from those communities are put to work. You're talking about they're speculating on an unemployment rate of about 25% in the Gulf Coast as a result of the storm. So folks need to go to work. But the other thing that I think is something that's really being overlooked is the issue of who is going to pay for people's homes and what is the role of people's personal insurance. In other words, as you know, most insurance policies don't cover floods unless you specifically pay for that. So a lot of people may just simply be wiped out and have no ability to rebuild. They may only end up owning land, a piece of land, and no house, nothing. And so there needs to be emergency legislation that really guarantees that people can, in fact, rebuild their homes.
And Bill, one thing is, it's great what you're saying. Are you going to be at the Congressional Black Caucus meetings?
Actually, I'm going to be at the Jobs with Justice Convention in St. Louis. And one of the things that I'm going to be doing there is really pushing Jobs with Justice on the question of two things. One is providing a space to talk about the future of the union movement, and second, to get Jobs with Justice very much involved in the Katrina movement. I think that they can play an important role.
Boy, that's great. And this is Bill Fletcher, the Executive Director of TransAfrica. And Bill, you always play a really critical role as an analyst and strategist, and we like having you on the show, and we'll get you back soon.
Thanks so much.
To our friends in the audience, Matthew, Phyllis, and Lisa from Santa Monica, we're really sorry that we didn't have time to get you on the show. You called in, and that's how important that is. I'm going to end by, Manuel's going to do the takeout, but let me just say, please join us on September 29th to try to provide aid for Katrina, and by then we'll have information about whether you can go down as a volunteer. Reach us at voices@thestrategycenter.org. Here's my brother, Manuel.
So we'd like to thank you for joining us today, and we'd like to thank our guests, Beverly Wright, Malcolm Suber, and Bill Fletcher. Today we had music from Les Nubians, Nina Simone, Jill Scott, Hermanos Ayala, and now you're listening to Oliver Nelson. You can listen to previous shows at www.thestrategycenter.org, and you can send us comments at voices@thestrategycenter.org. So up next is Beneath the Surface with Susie Weisman, so stay tuned.